Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. This is a program, especially during these days, dedicated to inspiring, uplifting, transforming, opening our hearts, connecting us to a deeper truth that is guiding us at all times. And it's such a pleasure to have you with me today for another wonderful conversation that I will be sharing with you. And I just want to make sure that if you are listening for the very first time, please go over to my Facebook page and you can like me there, you can friend me there, and that address, that Facebook page is What Women Must Know. So just go to What Women Must Know, which is the name of the other program I do on Progressive Radio Network, if you're wondering why that name showed up. It's What Women Must Know. Or you can go to my website, which is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and you can just subscribe to my website there. And all of these shows will either be posted on my Facebook page, or if you opt into my Facebook page, I mean, opt into my website, then they get sent right to your inbox. So that way, be sure to get all of these fantastic shows. And we have some great, great conversations in store for you today. I'm going to be sharing with you my guest, and I just want to give you a little background, first of all, before we jump into this. In, I believe it was November, I actually had the wonderful opportunity to go to Costa Rica to do a week-long program with my guest, Eli Reich Schaefer, and Taita Juanito, who is his teacher. And this is an experience, a profound experience in a beautiful, beautiful part of Costa Rica that is really exploring the nature within us. And when we talk to Eli in a bit, we're going to understand what that means. And so this is a week of working with the wisdom and the teachings and the shamanic tradition of the people of the Colombian tradition. And for people who have never really been introduced to the world of shamanism and the world of this path of wisdom and of healing, you will certainly have a treat today because it is a very profound world. So let me just, first of all, say a little bit about Eli, and if you can just hang in there, guys. I'm kind of doing my best with Mercury retrograde. I'm having some challenges, but I'm about to get myself organized here. Okay, there we go. So, 2 seconds. Okay, so hang in there, everyone. And let me just share a little about Eli. So, since a young age, Eli has been drawn to self-exploration and has connected to the great spirits of nature. At the age of 18, he began immersing himself in the world of shamanism, meditation, and yoga, and has since studied shamanic healing energy medicine, Tibetan meditation practices, Ayurvedic massage, various forms of yoga, Reiki, and indigenous healing modalities. The world of shamanism continued to call to him until he found himself living in the jungles of South America and intensely studying with indigenous people. His journey has taken him to the depths of the Amazon jungle to learn about their medicinal plants and to learn a way of healing people in the truest form as our ancestors teach. The lineage that Eli follows is carried by Taita Juan from Siona and Ingana tribes of Colombia. And it's my great pleasure to welcome Eli with us today from Costa Rica. So, hola, Eli.
Hola, hi. So good to be here.
It's so great. It's so great having you. We have actually attempted to do this several times, and it looks like the spirits are with us today. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that's the case. So, first of all, we've had an amazing life. You're really a young man, I have to say. But you have started so early in your life to be on this journey, this deep calling. And I just want to ask you, because we've talked about shamanism before on the show. I've had other wonderful people like Alberto Rialdo on the show several times, such an inspiration. But I want you to share from your experience, what is this term shamanism? What is it? What is it that is such a deep and profound path of connection more than anything else? Well, you may have a different way of explaining it. I'm sure you do.
Thank you.
Just jump in.
So, firstly, I'm super happy to be on your show, and thanks for having me. And I think it's a beautiful time for us to be having this talk, because the world is in a moment of a lot of transformation and change. And people are really looking to see what was not working in their life and how they want to live differently moving forward. It's been really a time of pausing. And so I think the path of shamanism, the path of meditation, these different practices are going to be taken up by many. And so I think it's a very beautiful time for us to be sharing this. I find shamanism to be the sort of spiritual practice of connecting with nature. Yeah. And I think our ancestors, the indigenous people from all over the world, practiced this. Yeah. And it came in storytelling, it came in rituals, it came in dancing, it came in making altars, it came in using different plant medicines, different meditations, different prayers. But there was a understanding that is still held in certain corners of the earth today. But before, it was just common to talk to nature, to pray to nature, to ask and to give, this sort of giving and receiving with nature. And so you see, for example, in the cultures I work with today in the Colombian Amazon, the Ingano and Siona tribes, they have songs that they use, and we call them the Icaros. These are the sacred chants. What Taito Juanito, my teacher, he explains that this is sort of the essence of nature brought into words, brought into a song that holds a certain frequency and also holds a certain memory. And so in these words, in these songs, there's a way that we are connecting with nature and the spirits of nature. And in that way, we're asking them to show us what are we really? What is our true nature? What are we doing here in this life? And how can we live in alignment with our calling, with what our heart wants, or some say what the soul wants to do in this life.
Your program, your website is called The Nature Within Us. And I find that to be a really interesting title, a very interesting phrase, and a very interesting concept. So what does that mean to you, the nature within us?
Yeah. Thank you. So that came to me many years ago. When I was starting to work with Taita, it seemed like I wanted to create sort of this wing underneath his path as well. And it came to me, the nature within, and then that came into the nature within us. And so what seems clear to me is that in this life, everybody, all 7 billion or more of us on the planet, we're all looking for happiness. It's a sort of common thread that ties us all together. Yeah. And so in that way, there's a lot of confusion of where we can actually find happiness. We search for it in material things, you know, in the newest iPhone, the newest car, the next relationship, our jobs. And at a certain point, those things all fail us. Those things are never going to give us true happiness because it's something that we have and it's something that goes. Yeah. And so the spiritual path of shamanism and meditation, they're going to take us to look inwards. They're going to take us to find the happiness and the peace and the joy and the truth of our essential nature. They're going to help us to uncover the treasure chest that lives within us, that which was never born, which was never dies, and is the consciousness of life that we all are. And so I feel like the nature within us, when I speak of the nature, it's that consciousness, it's that understanding, or some people talk about that liberation, that awakening, yeah, that lives within not just myself, not just you, it does live in both of us, but it lives within all of us, within the plants, within humanity, with the people, and beyond, you know, into the other planet systems. And so it's this communal light and truth.
So the tradition found in indigenous cultures, and I have spent, you know, a little time in the Amazon and kind of in Costa Rica working with the shaman with the plant medicine. Maybe we can talk a little bit about plant medicine, because a lot of people have been hearing about plant medicine. It's become, I don't want to say popular, I don't really like that word, but it has become, people become more aware of this path for healing. And, it's gaining an awareness that never had before out into the popular culture. And it's something that has been profound in my life. Eli, you should know, and I have, when I was down doing your program in Costa Rica at the Spirit, we did sessions with plant medicine, with ayahuasca, some other plant medicine. And can we talk about this tradition? First of all, the tradition that has been part of these indigenous peoples for thousands of years. Why? What was it about this medicine that they used? It's as though it was their sacrament, their way of connecting. You know, help my audience understand the role for this energy of medicine and it and its ability to help humans and help us evolve.
Yes, thank you. It's a great question. And so what I think you see is different indigenous cultures around the planet use different plants as a way to support their connection to spirit, to open their consciousness. And you see it even in certain books and old religious texts. There's belief that, or suggested use that in some of the Buddhist cultures, that in the Egyptian cultures, and a lot of ancient cultures throughout the world, they use different plants. Yeah. And today, for example, you find in the Amazon jungle that they use ayahuasca. Yeah. In certain cultures, they use San Pedro. In others, they use peyote. There's been some cultures that have used what we call magic mushrooms, the coca leaf. There's tobacco. There's many different plants that different cultures have used as a sort of a messenger. Yeah. It's like a messenger that supports us in the, let's say, visible world to connect with those in the invisible world and to receive guidance and to receive messages. Yeah. And to receive wisdom and understanding in a bigger way of what life is. And so in the culture that I predominantly work with, which is the Engano and Siona cultures of Colombia, they predominantly work with the medicine which we call Yahe, and that is ayahuasca, known by many. Yeah. And so in this culture, they have found that the Yahe or the ayahuasca is sort of their, what Taito Juanito says, is it's the principal pillar of their culture. Yeah. And when they say principal pillar, you can think of like, there's like a house, and the house has a central pillar that's keeping the foundation, and around it, there's walls and other things that keep the structure up. And Taita explains that around it, we have other plants, something they call Waira and Chandor and Kuyangia, and many different plants which serve to heal the body and to heal the mind and to heal the spirit in different ways. And so the ayahuasca in this culture is the predominant medicine that they use. And it's really, as we talked about before, it's used to support one to awaken. It's used to support us to heal old karmas, baggages, anxieties, traumas, illnesses of the body, different things that we're holding that keep our spirit heavy. It's like we had this big backpack, and we're filling the backpack with thoughts and with worries and anxieties. And the ayahuasca, which is often in cultures represented as a grandmother spirit, she comes and she helps you to take those things out of the backpack. She helps you to lighten the load. And she's like a doctor or a scientist that does a revision on you and says, hey, my child, you know, this thing you've been doing, it's not really what you want to do, you know, and it's not making you happy. And so these plants give us guidance. Oh, this work, you know for a long time that you've been suffering in this job. Maybe it's time to find something else. Or this anxiety, let's see where this is coming from. What part of you needs to heal to release this? And so it has a very deep therapeutic form of working with you.
And that to me is the power of the plants. I mean, they're such a gift to us. For those of us in our Western cultures where we have become so predominantly operating out of our intellect and, just trying to think our way through, not believing there are other dimensions that we can access and learn from. We live in a very small reality, in all honesty. And the experiences that I've had working with the plant medicines has just opened me to the reality that there are so many other dimensions we can access of healing, of allowing us to return to our purity, to our soul, that we can actually, as you were saying, let go of the burdens, let go of the traumas that have caused us to, suffer emotionally, to have been the basis of physical ailments, the stresses that have maintained their energetic imbalances throughout decades, generations, perhaps. It's so profound. And, as a psychotherapist, Eli, for many years, I was looking for the best ways to help people make their changes. And the reason why I got so fascinated with plant medicine is because I felt that the techniques, no matter how good they are, that we have developed, can never get beyond the boundaries of our own thinking. And with plant medicine, we leave the boundaries of our thinking behind, because we can never get healed through thinking. And that's why it was a path that I was eager to explore. I felt there was so much there for me to learn and to heal for myself. So those are my thoughts about all of that. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about it, what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I totally resonate with what you're saying. And, you know, the medicine, as we were talking, she's doing a revision with you, you know. And so we can talk about it, and also in many ways, it's something that one needs to experience. It's something that's very beyond, as you're saying, the thinking mind. Yeah. And so part of what the medicine is doing is the ayahuasca, as we've been talking, is she's cleansing. Yeah, she's doing a sort of purification on the body. And so it's normal, and I think both of us have experienced this through society, through our parents, through our karmas, through our blood lineages, that we become sort of, there's certain toxins in the body. You know, there's certain holds, energies in the body. And so, as Taito Juanito explains, what the medicine is doing is she's first going through your life. And so she goes through from your age now to your adolescence, and then goes to your childhood. Yeah. And then goes to when you were birthed. And she's revising all those points to see, okay, what traumas were there? Yeah, what thought pattern habits were there? What mental tendencies? What emotions got stuck? And then she goes back through your blood lineage to see what was passed from your father, from your mother, and all the way back through your ancestral line. And for those of you that believe in, I myself do, having seen this in ceremonies, is she works through your past lives. Yeah. She works all the way back. And then as Taito Juanito explains, she goes to what he calls the origin. Yeah. And so this origin is sort of like the energetic imprint or the soul. It comes into the world at a certain point, right? And so how I like to think about it is that the great spirit or the love of the universe or Mother Nature or that which gives life to all, it's like a cloud. Yeah. And so at a certain point, that cloud lets off another little piece of cloud. Yeah? And that little piece of cloud is the birth of our soul or the energetic imprint of us that then goes through all these different lifetimes. And so at the very beginning, just as there's traumas that happen when we first come out into the world through the birthing process, there's also some sort of imprint that happens at that first birthing. And so the medicine goes through all of that. And so it really amazes me. So many times the medicine shows me something, you know, look at this. This is something you know you haven't been doing well in your life, something you know you needed to heal, someone you know you needed to forgive, a part of yourself that you needed to love more. And I have been turning my head from it. Constantly, I was seeing it a little bit, but I didn't have the strength or courage. And so this grandmother spirit shows you these points. And in the ceremony and then afterwards, she helps you to take the steps to live a more empowered life, to live a life more in love, and I think importantly, to live a life more in service to Mother Nature, and as well in service to humanity, which I think is one of the main reasons we're all here, you know, is to be supportive of one another.
Absolutely. And what's beautiful about this path, working with nature, is that it's not a cognitive process. It's not like you're, you know, thinking about this and trying to figure it out. When you're taking the medicine, because it's releasing DMT, which is that God molecule that we have innately within us, but the medicine as it's brewed allows much more activity and much more access to the DMT, increased levels of DMT, you actually do open up to other dimensions where you have these direct experiences. I mean, you open up to these other dimensions for the purpose of reuniting us once again with our, you might say, our soul, our spirit, to the truth of who we are, past the fears and past all the judgments and past all of the traumas that have disconnected us from the true self that we are. And that's what's so incredible. It's nature. It's like nature has found within herself the ability to help us, us, humans here, to reconnect to the source of who we are as part of everything, as part of the whole. And it blows me away every time I think about that, Eli. It's like, within nature is the medicine that allows us to remember who we are and move beyond the personality, the ego, reconnecting back to the spirit. And nature is, within nature is all the medicine that helps us to do that. And the medicine, I have to say, is the natural healing energies of plants and of nature.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, just as you were saying, it one simple way that sort of can open the mind, can sort of blow it open to believe in this work, is the understanding of what ayahuasca is, right? So ayahuasca, in most traditions, is two plants. Yeah, so we have the ayahuasca, which is a vine, and then we have the chacruna, or the chagrupanga, which is a bush, yeah? And so you take the leaves from the chagrupanga, which has the concentration of DMT, and then you take the ayahuasca, and that ayahuasca has components that allows the body to assimilate the DMT and to have it come through the body, yeah? And so the amazing thing to me is that these two plants aren't usually found next to each other. Yeah. And think about the Amazon jungle, the most biodiverse place on the planet. How many plants are there? And so, you know, what did a few indigenous people say? Okay, I'm going to try this plant and that plant and this plant and that plant. And it would have probably been a few million or more different concoctions to end up with these two that you brew together in water for a certain amount of time over a few days process, and then you drink it, and there's a process that helps you to purge and also helps you to heal and to bring visions. And so that alone makes us see that there's something more going on here, right? And I think for me, why I work with the plants is because before I worked with them, I lived in a much more limited belief of what this life was. Yeah. And after meeting Taita Juanito and working with him, I felt like the medicine had taken the walls down of my home, you know, and I had only ever seen what was inside my home. And afterwards, I could see nature. I could see the sun, I could see the clouds. And so the medicine has a way of sort of cleansing the senses as well, sort of clearing the neural networks and sort of opening our consciousness to see that there's so much beauty, that there's so much potential, that there's so much abundance and so much to be learned in this life. And that's, and as you said, it's Mother Nature there again, supporting us there again, reminding us who we are, you know, and these, it's not chemicals. It's just two plants from nature that were mixed together in indigenous knowledge that now has come up again to support us to remember.
What do the people that you live with, the tribes down there, how do they explain how they found that these two plants joined together, brewed together? you know, have this effect. Is there a story how they were discovered or how it was discovered to bring them together?
Yeah. So, you know, in there's different tribes, right? So, for example, in Colombia, the region where we work is called Putumayo. It's right on the border of Ecuador. And there's four tribes there that particularly work with ayahuasca. And then at this time, and then in Brazil and Peru, there's different cultures. And so different cultures have different stories. And I happen to know the story that Taito Juanito shares with us. And basically what he says is he speaks again of the origin. Yeah. And the origin is a time way, way back when there wasn't the excessive thoughts. There wasn't the pollution. There wasn't the toxins. There wasn't this negativity, these worries, these anxieties that have brought on so much confusion in humanity today. Yeah. And so in that time, there were beings that lived on the earth, but they lived in harmony. They lived in unity with one another, and they also lived in unity with the plants. And because there was that unity, because there was that harmony, it was like a respect and trust between them, the plant, and the spirits. Yeah, because what we start to learn is that the more you respect and trust the plants and respect and trust Mother Nature and speak with her and make offerings to her, you open your consciousness to receive more guidance. And you hear, for example, in the indigenous languages, something that I find very interesting is in Spanish, you have the words estar and you have the word ser, which effectively means to be. And so there were certain words like estar and ser and words that were put into different languages that were, it made it possible so I could say Dr. Cheryl is, or Dr. Selman is better than me, you know, I'm better than this person, I'm smarter, I'm wiser, they're different than me. And so there was a way in the languages today where we're, had made it possible to make a difference, to make a separation between one another. And so in the indigenous languages, you'll see, and in the songs that we sing, they didn't have that separation in the language itself. Yeah. Wow. And so everyone spoke as consciousness, as the oneness that we really are, because that's how life was. Right. And so in the, I took a little side note there, but in the origin story, what happened is there was a meeting. Yeah. There was a meeting of what one may call sort of semi-gods or sort of beings of high consciousness, let's say, fully awakened beings in that time. And there were many elders and there were many ancestors and there was many wise beings there from the different cultures. And so they had this grand meeting and they were praying and they were singing and they were chanting. And at a certain time, the consciousness of life, what some call the great spirit, which also is within all of them, but it manifested in form in that time and said that it saw that they and humanity moving forward, and particularly the indigenous people were at that time going to be the carriers. They needed plants. Yeah. And in that moment, they were given the ayahuasca and they were given the chacruna, and they were told now to work with these plants, to study them for a time. And then indigenous cultures would start to receive the connection, would start to receive the wisdom. And then they too would pass it, as we see today, it's being spread around the planet, you know. And so I think it's very beautiful, this story of of, again, life itself presenting us with the solutions to remember what we are.
Yes, it is so powerful and so profound. It's, you know, it's always a question when people start learning about the medicines and how these plants are, you know, are found and brewed together, but they don't live in the same neighborhood together. How are they found? And I think, you know, there's a magic there. There's something profound, as you were saying in that story, that how this information was given to those people. You know, we think that culture has always been like it is now. We think the way people think, the way people live has always been this way. But, and I'm fascinated by ancient cultures. And there was different consciousness on the planet thousands and thousands of years ago. We perceived reality in different ways. And personally, it's like we have created a culture here in the Western world, which has permeated all over the planet, that is predominantly one of the intellect and the mind and the sciences, right? So science and technology is the gods that we worship. But in actual fact, they take us far away from our true nature, and especially if they are abused, which is the great danger right now, that, you know, this advancement of technology, we are so enamored with what we've created, but what, you know, what are we going to do with it? What is it really for? Is it going to serve us, or are we serving it? And I think we're at a very dangerous point with that potential. And here we have these cultures that have held a wisdom and a truth and a state of consciousness for thousands and thousands of years that really is bringing us back to who we are. And 'cause we've strayed. We've strayed and as our culture has evolved in this intellect, well, you know, a paradigm. And I think it's fascinating what you said, Eli, about just the words, just how words shape our neurology and shape mm-hmm. our perception of reality just by the words we speak. We don't, I think, give that much thought how a culture develops certain languaging, and that languaging creates how we perceive reality. And not to, you know, yeah. to have a language that doesn't have the word, you know, better than or other than, or there are cultures that never spoke about anything but the present time as well. Never the past, never the future. Everything is in the present. It's a powerful understanding of language and the perceptions of reality that are available and what really does serve us to remember who we are.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think in one way, it's a difficult time to be living in, yeah, because the speed of everything, the speed of technology, the speed of living in a city, of having to work one or multiple jobs, you know, just to make enough money. There's something in society that's happening today about needing to achieve, needing to make this, then have the kids, and then get the newest job or the newest iPhone. And so there's a speed that we've been seeing that's been ever quickening. Yeah. And when you come to nature, when you spend time in the mountains, when you spend time in the jungle at the beach, something happens where things slow down, where there's a sort of silence. And what is happening there is you're connecting to the natural way of being of nature. And in nature, there's a silence, there's a quietness. And so nature in that way is reflecting back to you what your true nature is. Yeah. That silence, that peacefulness is there within you, even if you're in a city, you know, even if your mind is going mayhem, or, you know, you have a screaming child, or you're at a job where your boss is yelling at you, that silence doesn't leave. But it's a time when society in large part has been moving towards this fast-paced movement. and this striving and achieving. Yeah. But the good thing is, what we see in a lot of times is maybe the death of a loved one, maybe the loss of a job, something big happens in one's life, and that catastrophe acts as a sort of door that opens so that the person can say, wait a minute, what was happening in my life? And how do I really want to live? Maybe I should do meditation. Maybe I should try plant medicines. Maybe I should work with someone that does Reiki or different things, because how my life was before wasn't working. Yeah. And so I see, you know, as we talk about this, we're in the time of the COVID, and there's been different catastrophes, different devastating events that have been happening. And I truly feel that many people around the planet today, and you see it with how much the plant medicines are being moved around and used, are saying, wait a minute, this isn't right. We are completely out of balance with nature. We're completely out of balance with our natural rhythm. People are using more pharmaceuticals than ever. There's more depression. There's more anxiety. This wasn't how it was before. And I know inside of me that this isn't how it should be. And so plant medicines is not for everyone. Yeah. I would like to think that I could go and put plant medicines into the water system somewhere and it would work for everyone in that town. But in the end, it's important, you know, to know that you need to be with a good guide. You need to be with someone you feel that there's a connection. Yeah, it's someone you just feel love from, yeah, that you feel security with, that you feel is going to really respect you and take care of you if you need it, and that is going to go through proper safety guidelines with you, is going to make sure you've been following a diet and doing different things. But I've been seeing, you know, serving medicine for the past 3 or 4 years and working with Taita and other people for so many years, that this medicine really heals and really works. And from depression to illnesses to anxieties, what happens is that these things, as we see, there's some sort of spiritual connection. Yeah, there's something going on with your emotions. There's something going on with your anxieties. There's something going on with a sort of imprint on what we call the subtle body or the energy body that the shaman or the healer or guide or the medicine itself is working to release for you so this door can be opened in a new way. And so I see that even though it can be very difficult, that even the quickening of society is sort of pushing society to look at, it's like the whole train is kind of crashing. And together we're like, okay, we need to do something different. And I think COVID was actually a beautiful thing. Of course, brought so much suffering and still is to so many people, but it's kind of like nature saying, hey guys, you know, we have been a little bit off track. And so let's see what we can do differently moving forward and how to care for ourselves and others.
Eli, what does your teacher Taita Juanito or the elders of the tribes that you have spent time with, what is their message for this time that we are in?
Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful that you say that. The other day I was listening to Taita Juanito share about this. And, you know, just to quickly speak about his elder, he passed away a year or two ago, but he was 108 years old when he passed away. And so I love to just share about him because it shows that this medicine really works. You know, he, from a child, was drinking this medicine, was in the Amazon jungle and working with his parents and grandparents and learning these traditions. And to the day that he passed away, I spent time with him for many years, and he was always strong. He always had this energy of a tiger. And so I feel that, you know, Taita Juanito and the grandfather and the grandmother and the people that were teaching him, as well see in this time that, you know, the virus or these different things that are happening, it is all part of a plan of nature, a plan of love. Yeah? Because this was a time when people were flying here, flying there, doing this, doing that. And nature said, wait a minute, take some breaths, take a pause. Nature also said, I need a couple breaths. And so nature took some breaths. We took some breaths. We got more time with our family. You know, there was a lot of suffering and hardships that happened, but we all had some time to relook and are still looking at ourselves. And so nature is always guiding us again. You know, she's always organizing. She's always reconnecting. And she is never mad. Yeah, she's the loving mother that whatever tantrums that her children are throwing, she's not going to punish. Yeah, this was not a punishment from her. This was a way for her to say, hey, I'm going to bring this forward, but so that you guys can learn, so that you guys can grow, so you guys can have some time, that you guys can revisit your lives and look at what's important. And so I think that would be the message that Taito would offer, and he also shares in different moments about this.
Well, that's certainly what's happened. Everything has been put on pause. And for those that are aware of this time and the opportunity, have been reflecting and quieting. I see that happening a lot. For those people that will never do medicine, will never have the experience of ayahuasca for whatever reason, what is it that you, out of your teachings, out of what you've been learning with the teachers you've been studying with, what would you recommend people do to support themselves, their growth, their expansion, their connection at this time?
I can say for myself that the most important, two most important things have been plant medicines and meditation. Yeah. So I think if someone's not going to work with plant medicines, and even if you are, it's really beautiful to work with meditation. And there's many great teachers online. I myself also lead meditations that I have online. And to find teachers that you resonate with, to do, there's a lot of great stuff happening online right now. Full meditation retreats are happening. There's a lot of yoga classes online. There's a ton of free offerings. There's a lot of teachers that realize they can't travel and they still want to be giving their teachings and supporting people. And, you know, just 2 weekends ago, I did a retreat online, and you're just right there with the teacher. It actually feels quite intimate. And so I think meditation, breathing practices, you know, yoga, there's a lot of ways to connect with nature and to sort of be on the shamanic path without actually taking plant medicine. And so I myself actually have an online course that I'm releasing soon. It should be done in a few weeks. And it's a mixture of meditations. It's a mixture of shamanic rituals or sort of ways to connect with the elements, ways to connect with the plants, with the animals, and as well different talks and different sharings that I've brought in from my life and been learning from the indigenous people and also been learning from the meditation teachers that I work with. And so I think that's what I would recommend is meditation and these different spiritual practices. And there's many different ways to go forward and to heal oneself. You just need to find what your heart is calling.
That's great. Yeah, Les, it sounds like you're putting some wonderful resources together. So tell everyone about your website. Tell people about your programs, that you do in Costa Rica, and I think you may be doing programs other places as well. So give us the program schedule, hopefully, that you can follow over the next few months.
Yes. So the next actual retreats we have, I'll be leading two retreats in Blue Spirit, where you were. And this is the retreat center of my father, and it's an amazing retreat center right on the Pacific Ocean in Costa Rica. And here, it's a week-long retreat. We do two ayahuasca ceremonies. We do steam showers with different plants, some which are sweet plants and some which are bitter plants. This is for purifying the body and then bringing sweetness into the energy fields. We do sweat lodge rituals. We do consultations with the guides of the ceremonies. We do meditations. We do ancestral plant medicine talks. There's healing. There's amazing food. There's a longevity center here. And it's just a very beautiful week in one of the most beautiful centers around the world, and with great guides, great people leading you through these ayahuasca journeys. And really, the ayahuasca is the focus of the retreat, and everything kind of supports that with preparation and integration. And so we have the ceremonies in the middle of the week, and we've been doing this for 5-6 years now, and more people have been coming. And so those two retreats are the end of November, November 28th. To December 5th, and then December 19th to the 26th. As well, my teacher in the beginning of November has a retreat he holds in Colombia at his own retreat center, which has similar to the other retreat and even more things included. And on top of that, I also offer Zoom healing sessions, meditation, guidance on those sessions, consultations, and I do travel around the world to different parts to lead ceremonies, to lead retreats, to lead workshops. And so if anyone wants to connect with me, I would love to hear from any of you, even if you just have some feedback about the talk or want to share something. So my website is thenaturewithinus.com. And my email, maybe we'll put somewhere, but it's Eli, E-L-I, dot Rechtschaffen, R-E-C-H-T-S-C-H-A-F-F-E-N, at gmail.com. And I'm on Facebook at Eli Rechtschaffen. I'm on Instagram at The Nature Within. And as well on SoundCloud at The Nature Within, you can find a lot of my meditations and a lot of medicine music playlists for your enjoyment. So lots of different offerings, and maybe that was a lot to take in, but feel free to check my website out or email me, and I'll share with you more.
Yeah, so always a good portal is thenaturewithinus.com, which takes you to so many things that you're doing. You're very busy, Eli. This time has not slowed you down at all. In fact, it's probably sped you up in lots of ways. And I just want to say that where you hold the retreats in Costa Rica, Blue Spirit, it's an absolutely magical part of Costa Rica. Costa Rica is pretty magical overall, but where Blue Spirit is on the Pacific Ocean, where you can, it's lush. It's just beautiful, filled with nature. I have to say, you go there and it's just, you're just embraced by that healing power of nature amongst all the other wonderful things. And like you said, the wonderful food and the wonderful views. And it just, you know, it's a life changing experience. And I'm so blessed that I was able to go and partake and receive so many gifts from that time. I still am wearing the bracelet, the wonderful beaded bracelet that was given to everyone, that you gave to everyone. So it's with me all the time. So thank you so much, Eli. I just, you know, really want to acknowledge you for your dedication from the time, you know, you were 18 that you know, young, tender age of awakening and then just being very passionate and dedicated to your spiritual path and the path of serving others. It's been a beautiful thing that you've been doing with your life and how you're serving so many others in the world. So I just bless you and trust you will keep it going for many, 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 many more years.
Thank you, and the same to you. I feel so blessed to be on here with you. It's always lovely to connect, and I hope to see you soon.
Yeah, that would be great. I will hold that vision. So thank you so much, Eli Rechthofen. By the way, we didn't really say, Eli, that your dad, who's an amazing inspiration because he's one of the founders of Omega Institute as well as Blue Spirit. And in the winter time in the Northern Hemisphere, I know they hold a lot of their programs down at Blue Spirit. It's quite a testimony to his vision. And how blessed you're his son. You get to take advantage of the beautiful things that he has created. And I just have to say that Blue Spirit is a piece of artwork. It's a piece of artwork. It is just so magnificent and so beautiful how it has been created. So much love and attention to detail. It's a very healing space. So I do feel very blessed and fortunate I had the chance to be with you at Blue Spirit. And yes, hopefully we'll do it again. So all the best to you, Eli. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
So to all of you listening, thank you for joining me once again on this Love Code show. And I trust you'll be joining us every week or going onto the Facebook page and getting the archive shows there or the archive shows through my website, Dr. Cheryl Selman. During this time, more than ever, we need to be inspired and uplifted and reminded about the great power that we have within us. So until next time, may you fill your week with love, peace, and happiness. Bye for now.